The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic and nerd destination, where you can see me probably crying in a corner, and with generous support from listeners like you. To learn how you can support other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Spandex makes me horny. Get a stash.
Get a stash. Drag is the new spandex. Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian. I'm here with Pat.
What's going on, guys?
So we have had a little bit of craziness in Orlando. We've had Hurricane Irma.
Irmagerd.
Come and blow us. You know, that's offensive. I don't know if you know that.
Irmagerd.
It's offensive. So
to who, Irma?
I don't know. Somebody said it was offensive. So I want to say we're all safe, but we're not. No, I'm just kidding. We're all fine. We lost power, some people more than others, but we're good. We're good. We're back on schedule, but we've had some travel lately, and one of the trips that I want to talk today about, or rather ask about, is the one I did not get to go on, which happened during the hurricane when Pat went to DragCon New York City 2017.
Yay, I got to go somewhere.
The DragCon New York City or New York?
New York City.
Okay.
DragCon NYC 2017.
So for those of you who have not been paying attention to our Drag is New Spandex series, basically we do love RuPaul's Drag Race. We talk about it quite a lot on our regular episodes, but also if you go back in the feed, you can look at previous episodes of Drag is New Spandex. Is this Drag is New Spandex technically?
I guess, kind of.
I mean,
minus Oral.
I was going to say, Oral is usually a staple of this, but he is also very busy. So, typically with DragCon, which, if you've never heard of it, it's a convention for and about RuPaul drag queens. I mean, I know there are other vendors, other drag queens partake, but it is centered around the RuPaul World of Wonder universe. I mean, that is what it's for. So imagine, if you will, that drag queens are, let's just say, superheroes, and they have a shared universe. So that this is the convention for that. They've had three of them in L.A. And
correct.
Sean, Jess Ketting, was our roving correspondent in those conventions because he was at those. But he did not make it this year.
No, he couldn't get the time off. I was so sad. I was looking forward to actually getting to, one, meet him, because I've heard great things, and I've heard his voice every single time I have to edit an episode of Drag is the New Spandex. And I was looking forward to having somebody else there to kind of experience DragCon with, because it was weird. I'm not a convention person normally, and I still am not. But we miss Sean, and hopefully he'll be down here actually in about a week. So he might come see Tatiana with us when she performs here in Orlando. But maybe next year, for the fourth annual DragCon in LA, we'll both get to go out there and cover it for the show.
It would be nice. The people at RuPaul's Drag Race, or DragCon rather, were very sweet. They extended press to us, and I unfortunately was not able to go. I had to stay here and take care of the kids and do some worky stuff. But we're hoping that that relationship continues. And you did have quite an experience in New York. I know from what you've posted, if you would like to go see a visual companion to this episode, you can go on our Instagram, on our Facebook feed, and on Tumblr as well, all of which you can find through flameonshow.com. You can actually see a lot of pictures from everything. But it was on Saturday, Sunday, a 2-day show at the Javits, where we'll be, what, in like a couple weeks?
Just a couple weeks, yeah. It was like, it felt like New York Comic Con priming for me, because it was like, oh, I've got to deal with the Javits and bathroom lines and ridiculousness for a convention you know, 1 month right after the next.
And I had my NYCC warm-up at San Diego Comic-Con, so I think I'm ready for the... We're only doing one day in New York, so if you're at New York Comic-Con on the Thursday, come message us and we'll find you. But as a quick promo, we are doing our live show at Rock Bar, as always, or as now we've done for the last few years, on Tuesday night before the show. So if you're in New York City, you're coming in early, come out to Rock Bar 8 o'clock on Tuesday.
October the 3rd.
A completely free show. We are not charging you, nor are we doing tickets. You show up, you buy a drink, and you have a good time. So, DragCon. If you've never been to a DragCon, well, probably haven't. If you've ever been to a convention, I assume, and Pat, you've been to a bunch of comic conventions, similar format, lots of vendors, lots of booths, lots of tables.
Yes and no. It was a compressed kind of con. A lot of people, and I don't want to say a lot of people, I did make some new friends right off the bat. I got to the Javits at like 8:15 in the morning on Saturday. I've never done press before, so when they said, when they sent the email out that said press can start picking up their badges anytime from 8 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, I was like, okay, I want to be there early because I don't know how many other people will be there. I don't know like how crazy this is going to be. I don't know when the floor is going to open for press. Like a lot of these things... were kind of up in the air because I'd never done it, and they were also kind of up in the air because they've never done it here before. So there's a lot of trial and error and things that they thought would go one way and then changed up as the convention went along. But I got there early, and I ended up running into and meeting a young lady named Christy from Australia. So she's my new DragCon buddy. She works for a cruise company out of Australia, and they sent her up here, or over here, around here. I don't know, north, east, northwest. I don't know how the planes fly from Australia here.
I don't either.
But whatever. I just know the toilets flush the other way. So we met up, we chatted for a while. She's been to the LA Drag Cons before, and it was cool. We ended up getting onto the floor a little early. So that was always kind of cool, getting to walk around. It felt like a ghost town, really. It was like there's everybody getting set up, and like you said, yeah, it is very con-like in the fact that there's all the different booths, and the queens, you know, pay for varying shaped spots. That's kind of one of the only things that was a little bit different, but not in the sense of like some of the bigger, like those, you know, like this big T-shirt, you know, like the as opposed to Artist Alley, where it's like, hey, you get either like this one section or maybe two sections. Like they were in these square blocks.
Yeah.
And some queens just had like one square, or they would do two side by side. So they would have like a long rectangle. And some of the queens did like these four block, like big squares. And sort would utilize like them differently.
Installations almost.
Well, they would, for the ones that did it, yes.
Like Sasha's, I saw. I think your pictures or something. It was like almost like this contained world.
So hers, imagine like an L shape and then one quarter of it's kind of blocked off. And I think that was where they kept like merch. So a couple of queens that had a lot of merch or had a lot of extra, they would have these like walled off quarters.
Oh, okay.
So they would put their stuff in there so that way people wouldn't see it. It wasn't cluttered. And that way they could have like a merch table. So like Sasha had a merch table, and then that quarter that was the hidden area, and then it was like a long runway where she could sign. There was like a little area, like a little pedestal for her to sign, or a podium for her to sign, and then she would step over where they had the lights. And I don't think I posted this. I got to post it on the Instagram. She had these cool neon signs that were like lit up on the side that go along with, I think she's drawn a lot of these little like the lips and like the yeah, mouth with the fang,
her icons,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, these little icons that she does pins for and different things. But they were really cool neon, like, you know, it was like a trio of neon pins almost on the wall. It was cool. Really kind of fun. And like Aja had a whole baby room set up with like a little with a crib.
That's not creepy at all.
Well, she had this whole like baby doll thing going on for the weekend. Kim Chi had like a very, like, in the clouds with a little, like, I think it was a there was a moon, and I want to say like a hot air balloon. Bob had a little circus tent. Like it was very much of a circus theme for her entire section. As you were waiting in line, because her line obviously wrapped, you know, like crazy around, and there was a whole little queue for it. There was one of those carnival face cutout things where like it was Bob and Bob's assistant, so you could put your face in and you'd be Bob, and then somebody else would have to crouch down. It was like the little man was Bob's assistant. It was kind of fun. I have a couple of those pictures that didn't go up just because I thought they were cute and I wasn't sure, but I'll post them up on the page for people to see. And then you had some interesting ones like Marc Jacobs and Milk had a booth, so it was very much that fashion kind of thing where there was like these round mirrored pedestals and then Milk sat atop them and you would come over and you take a picture with Milk. And
this is a lot of fancy. So what I really would love to know if this is like, okay, so a lot of the queens are out in LA because World of Wonder's out there, and if they're doing a lot of LA based like shooting,
it depends.
A lot of the ones that like do really well, they move out there to be closer to that world. I've like Trixie did it. And Bianca's moved out to LA.
Yeah, and I think if you're trying to be more in the mainstream multimedia world, yeah, it's easier to move out there because
right. It's just everything.
You're closer there. You're not having to travel to LA specifically to then like cram a bunch of shooting into one.
What I'm wondering is if a lot of the New York and East Coast queens that don't normally go out there or don't get to do as much, like this year, they brought it to this show because put it this way, it seems very extravagant for some of these setups. And for a convention, I mean, they may not charge a lot for these exhibitors. I don't know. Plus, if you're like, you know, Sasha, you're probably getting some of that subsidized by World of Wonder and all that.
I don't know about that.
Feels very ornate, like very
well. I think it
impressive,
also,
but
I think it's the queens that did it on their own are the ones that I think are doing more and have capitalized and are utilizing their quote-unquote 15 minutes of fame to gig harder. Somebody like Ginger, who had a... I think she just had a one square, but she had... her friend Snaps helped make this really awesome, like, painted mural, and they had these flowers that they would put through, so it gave it a very 3D-esque feeling to it with stones and like to make it shimmer in the pictures.
So I think Ginger's smart because she's been in the industry a long time, and I think she has a better sense of, look, my bottom line is this. I'm going to gig hard, and she's one of the hardest working queens in show business, no question.
She's Asia Black now? Oh, sorry.
Nice.
Wrong one.
But she knew that she didn't need to spend lots and lots of money on production there to do her thing. Do you know what I mean?
And like, I think part of that also is not knowing what the Javits was going to be like, not knowing what this con was going to be like, being the first time out. Because I know I've seen pictures of her set up, like when they did the double wide trailer with the flamingo outfits in LA.
Oh, so she did that.
She's done bigger productions. Okay. I think this was a little bit of not knowing, and with her schedule, you know, sometimes you're not able to put that extra time into producing a larger setup.
Right.
But
I just really wonder what the return on investment is for people. There, it's cool to see it, but you figure, okay, the vast majority of your potential customers or patrons, whatever, are not at the show. They aren't going to get to experience this, and how much social media and other kind of, you know, secondary promo are you really going to get out of these elaborate setups? You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. Just
true, but
this is the economics of drag. We're studying the economics of drag now.
You're talking 35,000 plus people walking through those doors.
A lot of people.
That's so great. The chances are you can break even depending on who you are, and depending on how
you make money.
Depending on that's what I mean. Like that, you want to at least break even. Obviously, yeah. You don't want to go into it and lose money.
Sure.
Depending on what you're doing and what you're looking to get out of it.
Yeah, like an artist that goes to a Comic Con, if they're just doing signings or something, like they're doing it as a loss leader unless the show is putting them up. But like a really hardworking artist, like our friend Janet Lee. Or Danny Haas, or you know, Ryan Brown, they're going to sell merch and make money.
For sure.
As the primary goal. So that means you don't need a crazy setup. You go in, you got your table, you got your wares, and you make it work. That's what I'm saying, I guess. I think Ginger may have... We should ask her. I wonder if Ginger would be back on the show.
I don't know. I don't think she likes us anymore.
But now you did get to spend some time with Ginger and her
But real quick, before you say that, speak to your point there, somebody like Michelle Visage, who is a huge name, especially in this world, her booth wasn't anything. Like, there was no... Uh-huh. Because she wasn't also going to spend a lot of time there.
Oh, okay.
But I ended up stumbling into the opening ceremonies, ribbon cutting, and then ended up in Michelle Visage's line for her booth.
Huh.
It happens. They opened the floor early for VIP, and I ended up on the floor early.
Because you were a VIP press person.
I was a very important press person. And her booth was just her booth. Like you said, there's merch, there's her books, there's this. And when she was there, I mean, you know, you bought something and you got to meet her, take a picture. And, you know, and it's so funny because I'm so used to Parliament House meet and greets where it's you come up, you say hello, 3, 2, 1, snap, all right, we need to keep you moving because we have a half an hour.
Right.
When you're in a convention setting, you have a little more time.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully you're not that dick that's like, I'm going to try and spend 20 minutes talking to this queen while there's a 4-hour wait on the line. You know what I mean? But yeah, so some of them that were with a company like Marc Jacobs, Angina was with a company she's either spokesperson for or part owner. I'm not positive. But a couple of the girls were there and had a little bit more elaborate setups because they were...
If they're sponsored by somebody,
Or sharing a booth with.
Yeah. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, because then you double the exposure
and
people can buy the products and you know they buy some hair products or they buy some costume jewelry and then you get to go take a picture with the queen, then awesome. But yes, Ginger Minge and CJ, who actually was the first person that came up to me and recognized me and said hello, so I felt special.
Well, he better.
I know. I mean, I say it like he wouldn't know who I was, but...
I know. It's still nice when you're in that kind of environment. I mean, every time I go to a show and I'm not there or I'm there with other people, but we've all scattered, and somebody like knows me and comes up to me, like that's always nice.
Yeah, well...
You feel better about your loneliness wandering the show floor.
I was with Christy from Australia, and then these two girls from Canada. I was about to say Canada after saying Australia. Canada, who do Drag Coven on Instagram, who also had press passes. They knew each other, and then like Christy saw Luis, who's Bob's assistant. Like, so they see people that they've seen at all these shows or you know, that they see a bunch that say hello. And I'm like, hey. And Luis is like, nice to meet you. And I'm like, we've met. You know, so it's kind of funny because I work with so many queens that it feels like I should be a little bit more in that world. But I'm not.
It's well, like the exceptions are like the ones you've talked to a lot, like Jamie.
Yes.
And Brian for Varla. Right, Brian?
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, the ones that you've really...
Exactly.
Back and forth.
Exactly.
Like, you know.
Well, so CJ saw me, and then the only other person... So CJ and Ginger, I count them as one. The only other person that saw me and was, like, super excited to see me, waved me over to give me a hug and everything, was Joe La, who is Alexis's assistant, because when they were here for White Party, we chatted a bunch and, swapped numbers and were like, hey, I want to come up to New York. Or we were hopefully if they were coming up to Provincetown, we were going to get to hang out. So I got to see both of them. But CJ came over and told me that I had to be at Ginger's panel because I wasn't looking to do a ton of panels. I was looking to do a couple because obviously there were a few that really pertain to our world of gay and geekiness.
Got to cover the gay geek.
Exactly. But CJ was like, you need to come to Ginger's panel at 3:00. And I was just like, okay, no problem. Yeah, that's fine. And then he looks at me and goes, no, not about the panel. And he was wearing, they had matching Prince Charming and Snow White. Yeah, because yeah, there were the red and blue. Yep. So I'm such a bad Disney guy. Prince Charming in Snow White outfits. So he had the cape and he pulls it up and he whispers in my ear. He goes, "We're getting married," and I was like, "Ah!" And the girls were just kind of looking spoiler at me like, alert. "What?" So yeah. So we'll skip ahead to talking about that. But yeah, I went to the makeover of Lactatia that Ginger did. And which was
Lactatia, just a random,
she's a little 8-year old.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little child.
Lactatia?
Yes, because women lactate.
Okay.
It was an awkward explanation. I mean, it's an 8-year old child. I can't really be mad at it, but you know,
Her name.
That was the explanation, was that women lactate.
All right.
Yeah. It was kind of funny because one of the guys from Billboard was the I guess moderator for it. It was hard to really have a moderator, something like that. But he was asking questions, and either Lactatia was having trouble hearing or would get, I guess, kind of confused on how to answer certain questions.
She's 8.
8 years old. Yeah, exactly. So it was always there were a lot of like really awkward, like, pauses and responses, so it was kind of funny to watch the whole interaction. And you know, Ginger having a boss around a little 8-year old is doing her makeup. She's like, "Close your eyes, and if you open them up before I say so," like, it was just kind of funny to watch. But then yeah, at the end of the panel, and I mind you, there was a lot of press for this panel because I think word had been spread.
They were very strategic. Outlets. Yeah, I think so.
So like Vogue and Access Hollywood, I think it was, or Entertainment Tonight, one of those two shows was there. There was a lot of mainstream press, which was awesome. And so they did the makeover in about 40 minutes, roughly. And then at the end of it, Ginger's like, "All right, so I did you a favor, and now I need you to, can I ask you to do me a favor?" And then Lactatia's like, "What?" And she's like, and so Ginger's like, "Will you be my flower girl?" And it was just like a gasp in the room. There was a
gasp.
Exactly.
Stereo.
and Lactatia was like, "What?" She's like, "I'm gonna get married right now." And CJ comes out in his, you know, Prince Charming outfit, and then like, "And Michelle Visage is gonna officiate."
Where's Michelle in all this? I know she officiated.
So then she comes out, and it was real, like, the entire room was just like, went nuts. It was crazy, but it was really cute, and I got to be there. I got to be a part of it, and we went out to dinner afterwards.
They
wouldn't
let you be the ring bearer.
If I had known, I'd have brought my bear tux shirt, and I would have been the ring bearer. But
shame.
Maybe next time. Maybe next time. But yeah, so that it was great getting to spend time with them. It was so funny. Like, I wanted to, and even CJ was like, "Hey, whenever you want to do. If you want to do a little video thing, if you want to do an audio thing, let me know. We got you. You know, we love to do stuff with you guys." But I felt bad taking up time during the convention, because Ginger's line was just every time she was at the booth, and she was there a lot.
Yeah.
She just had a great line.
Right.
Like, and I'm not that kind of person. Like, I know I have a press badge, but you know, I'm not going to jump in line and be like, "Oh, I'm pressed. Let me get in and get this picture and talk to them for 10 minutes.
One of the most frustrating experiences I think you can have at a show as a fan is when you are in line and there is a press person that just jumps in and shuts the line down for a while, especially if it's a long line, you've been waiting there a while. So I think your instinct is right. The only thing is, like, in my experience, and I don't know if those of you listening who've covered a show, it's always awkward during the floor. And I know a lot of people who do it really well. Brett White, who you saw there, has managed to do a pretty good job of zipping in and out. But a lot of times it's the after hours that's when you
for sure, get, for sure. And I mean,
then they're exhausted and they don't want to say a lot. So there's a double-edged sword there. But
oh, true. I mean, like the floor closed at 6, and we didn't leave the floor until about 7. By the time we were able to get Ginger off the floor to go change. And then she came back, and like by the time we started to leave, and then even then, it still took us about 15 minutes to get outside of the Javits because people were stopping and like, "Oh my God, you're Ginger. Can I get a picture?"
Yep.
And Ginger's great about that. No, she knows.
She's good about that sort of thing.
You know, and she'll always point back to, I think it's something Bianca had said and it was take as many pictures with as many people as you can, because one day they're not going to ask you.
Right.
So that's the motto she lives by.
Fame is fleeting, and even though it's exhausting, I mean, you do anything enough and it's exhausting. You really do have to capitalize on the moment and everybody's experience. We've had this discussion, I think, before about some people at shows that we've met who haven't been the most friendly, you know, whatever. Everybody's experience with you may be their only one. And do you really want to have someone running around going, yeah, so-and-so is a dick. They didn't even really want to do a picture. They were and in fact, I like that, at least with Michelle and probably a lot of the other queens. You could just go up and probably talk to them. But obviously, if you bought something, even if it was an inexpensive something, I think you bought something from, was it Fifi?
No, I didn't get to buy anything from Fifi because Jiggly Caliente stole the last fucking shirt in my size.
That's right.
Damn it, Jiggly.
But you
I was supposed to go over and punch her in the titty
you
for gave Fifi.
Her, oh, no, you tipped her. That's what it
was.
Well,
yeah, because, all right, so depending on which queen it was, there was either a purchase minimum, which ranged from like $10 to $20, really. That was usually about the price range. Or some of them had different things going on. Like Jiggly was $5 to take a picture with her, cash or Venmo. And I was out of cash and I wasn't about to set up create another account just to pay her $5 for a picture. So I figured I'd catch her the next time. But somebody like Fifi, and Fifi has had some issues with World of Wonder. It's great to see that they are both mutually working on rebuilding that relationship, because she does a great job as in drag and as cosplay and all of that. And it's really good to see her trying to work towards getting that relationship back and being involved in these types of things. But she had no fee. But so her sign said photos and autographs free. And underneath it, it said, but you can tip a bitch. So when I got in line, it was on the second day, and when I found out they didn't have any more of the shirts that I wanted, I was like, okay, well, I at least have a couple of bucks cash, and even though she, it's free, they spend a lot of money on putting, buying these booths and doing these setups and all that, and I'm not going to walk away not tip a bitch.
Yeah, but I like that that's even an option. I mean, okay, so it's weird because you kind of have them as a hybrid. And again, I'm drawing off my other con experiences for this. You have a hybrid of like an artist at Artist Alley who will talk your head off if it's about promoting their stuff. Combining that with the sort of celebrity of, the media people, the special guests or whatever at a big show like MegaCon or New York, where they have the guy who plays Punisher and the doctors and their companions and all this. Like, the drag queens are kind of in between those two worlds. They are creative performers who are also somewhat minor celebrities and some major celebrities. But like, it's nice to see that they're finding a good space between there for the fans. And again, that's the other cool thing, is this is for the fans. I would dare say, apart from maybe people who had to cover it, and you didn't have to cover it, you wanted to cover it. Like, you're a fan as well. Like, this is a cool experience, and I'm so glad World of Wonders had success doing it, because it gets so many people who would never go to a gay bar, really.
Well, because it's all ages.
Right.
Because
right.
You're able to, if you're a parent, I don't even want to say a straight parent, but if you're a parent and you have a child that's 8, 9, 10 years old, and you guys watch Drag Race together, you're not going to be able to go see these queens when they right. perform at Parliament House.
Exactly.
Or Adore at Southern Nights, even though the ticket site says that venue is all ages. I'm like, who's bringing a child to a bar? But anywho, that's neither here nor there. But like the Maury and Peter and the Voss event shows at like the Plaza, those are all ages shows. So to have a few different outlets to be able to expose children to the fact that, like, hey, especially kids that are not sure about, like, they're having gender identity issues, they're having even at a young age having potential sexuality issues and thoughts in their head, to be exposed to their tribe and to see all of these people and see the outfits and the costumes and, you know, the people just coming in and quote-unquote cosplaying at the event, coming in drag or coming dressed up as these random, like, you know, pieces of art that, you know, it really is cool for them to be able to see that.
So what were some of the better, I mean, and I don't even know if they were cosplaying. Okay, let me ask you this way. Were there cosplay as, like, their own thing, like their own versions of drag, or were they cosplaying as other queens or a combination?
Well, no, and that's why I hesitate when I say cosplay, but like for in convention lingo, that really kind of would be what it would.
But
what
people
it would
dressed up.
To.
They dressed
oh,
up.
Oh yeah, no, there was a lot of queens that were that came and just they slayed. Like there were a couple of people. There was one queen that was in her best I Dream of Jeannie like outfit on Sunday, and it was adorable. And I feel bad, but I was so tired. It was a lot of getting up early and a lot of trekking back and forth from Long Island into the city, and I didn't take as many pictures as I felt I should have. But it's tough. You don't want, you know, you don't feel like you need to necessarily be going 24/7 when you're there, and experiencing it is one thing. But there were a lot of really cool queens there that were just rocking the looks, and it was awesome to see.
What about, so there were a few other panels that I know you covered.
Yes.
There was, I believe, a gaming panel.
Yes. It was the Pushing Buttons Gay Gamers panel. That was on Saturday. That was the first panel I went to. And I think it was in the Kiki room. Because you had the tea room and you had the Kiki room. And I think the Kiki room is the smaller of the two panel sites. And I got a nice little press seat. I think I probably could have sat front row because they had a little area. But I was like, I'm not gonna be greedy. I'm gonna sit in the second row here and watch this panel. Yeah, but it was presented by Geeks Out. Steve Giannaco was the panel moderator, who I got to talk to for just a few minutes on Sunday, and tell him that I enjoyed the panel. But they had RuPaul alumni. Ms. Pandora Box, who we love. There was Jade Sotomayor and Jade Jolie. So you had double Jades on the panel.
See, I didn't know either Jade very well from their seasons, and I didn't know they were gamers.
Well, Jade Sotomayor was season one.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's kind of, you know, it goes back a little bit. But Jade Jolie, I don't think there was a lot of talk about it on season five, and I think if you don't really follow her outside of her Taylor Swift impersonation, that's not really something that's out there a lot. But what I did not know is that Jade Jolie's drag name comes from Jade from Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
so it already has gaming influences, yeah. Right there. In addition to those three, you had YouTube star Kid Fury and the founder of Miss Nerd New York and Gay Gamers of New York, Shane Cherry. So, and he was wearing a delightful Pac-Man suit at the panel.
Nice.
But it was cute. It was definitely a fun little panel. They talked about, like, you know, what got them into gaming. Jade Sotomayor was kind of funny because she's an old school gamer, and she was kind of like, after PlayStation, I kind of fell out of it. She's also one of the older queens on the panel.
She's season one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Pandora, age-wise, are close.
Yeah.
But Pandora is still an avid gamer, so it's just kind of fun. They talked about, you know, where their gaming roots were, what they like to play, kind of like what characters draw them to the game, whether, you know, it's... they want to be that big, beefy man-type character, which that really wasn't the case for most of them. Most of them were like, I want the girl with the big tits who's going to kick your ass. So
figures.
Basically,
I
yeah.
mean, I, yeah.
We all love a strong female character to kick ass. You know, give us a Chun-Li, give us a Katana.
I was
going to
say, I did play Chun-Li quite a lot.
Of course, you did. And with the leg, and then she'd flip upside down and whirly bird you in the head repeatedly. It was great.
It's impressive.
And they talked about, like, the Dragopolis game and joked about the fact that there should be a RuPaul's Drag Race fighting game, like a Mortal Kombat Drag Race hybrid.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Somebody should.
So
leaving money on the table right there.
Exactly. And then, the questions from the audience were also in that same vein of, if you were in that fighting game, what would your style be like? Or who would you be, your fighting style be modeled after? So it was cute. It was definitely a cute little panel. I'm glad it was there. I was a little sad I did not get to go to the Queeros panel, which is the one I originally confused it for when I posted my, getting ready for this panel. Because I got confused with pushing buttons and Queeros. But that was the one. Actually, Sonique was supposed to be a part of that. A couple of the other nerdy, comic book and superhero-infused drag was part of. And I'm excited to even just see that was part of the lineup.
Yeah.
But it was the same time as Ginger's panel. And, had to go to a wedding.
It happens.
But then on Sunday, there was a lot of... A lot of confusion, a lot of commotion, but I got to have a seat in the panel, the first panel of the day on Sunday, which was with Trixie Mattel, and sitting in for Katya was Bob the Drag Queen, and it was fantastic. It was weird in a way, because not that either one of them is not funny, because they both were extremely funny to be around and to listen to them interact with each other, but it was very much a giant 40-minute plug for the Trixie and Katya show on Viceland.
Shocking.
So it was a lot of questions on a page for Bob to be like, so... What makes the Trixie and Katya show different from your web series? They kind of played up to that a little bit. Like, Bob would shuffle the paper and be like, I'm sorry, I need to read this next question. They played this video message from Katya. They quote-unquote FaceTimed her.
Oh, okay.
She's on a cruise, or she was on a cruise that weekend, which is why.
I was going to ask her, yeah.
We were missing about half the queens. Not to say that every queen shows up to every drag con.
There was a big drag cruise.
There was only about 53 queens in attendance from Drag Race, and we're up to 113, I think it is now.
Wow.
Alumni. And that's because rumor, speculation, possibility... the Nancy Drews on Reddit have sussed out season 10 started filming right after DragCon. So the original dates would be during filming. So they had to move DragCon.
Right.
And when it was originally set, the queens were able to book around that weekend and not have to worry about it. So when they had to do the date change, it kind of, queens had other commitments that they wouldn't be able to get out of. But anyway, so Katya was on that cruise, I think, in the Mediterranean, so good for her. But they did this little FaceTime gag where they did the green screen and had her head on a bunch of different things, and it was a lot of fun.
That's really cool. I'm glad you got to see Trixie. I'm sad you didn't get to actually say hi to Trixie.
I know.
I mean, that's one of those things where this is the only time that as press or as just anything really, you can kind of run up and be like, hey bitch, bye.
Exactly. Yeah. But
I know it's also kind of want to do it.
No. But. And it was tough because I mean, there were a few queens that had impressive lines. RuPaul, I was talking to one guy, he waited in line for 5 hours to meet RuPaul.
See, RuPaul is like the Stan Lee of drag. So
why you say he's going down next year? As we just inch towards which is going to be Stan Lee's final appearance.
Stan Lee has been doing the con circuit since it started almost. And I mean, that's more of the RuPaul will be the Stan Lee of drag
for sure
for decades to come. Sure. If this continues on in this way, I mean, who knows if it will or not, but yeah, no, I'm not shocked that the lines are that crazy. It's just, I would love to meet RuPaul. I would love to interview RuPaul.
Oh, for sure.
I would not want to stay in line for 5 hours to
maybe
meet
have
RuPaul.
It sponsored by Squarespace or Squatty Potty.
Squatty Potty. Listen, Squatty Potty isn't a sponsor, but I will tell you, it is a miraculous thing. Like, having used it once myself, we should reach out to them and just go, look, we're not just looking for an advertiser. We're fans. maybe send us a free one, and you know, we'll talk more. But anyway, yeah. So I would. I that's the thing about these kind of things, especially meeting celebrities, and RuPaul. Like some of the queens, I'm really interested in more of their craft. And RuPaul, I'm sure, has got some amazing stories. But like, yeah, I just five hours now.
Well, I mean, like I said, RuPaul is a mainstream celebrity.
Oh, absolutely.
Rue's career
was just on the Emmys.
Well, yeah,
in a very major role.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it was no Sean Spicer rolling out on a
let's not I was so validated.
Did it trigger you
when Teen Vogue had that op-ed?
God, I know, I read it.
I was like, now my feelings are validated.
Maddie agrees. Like, she did not appreciate that at all.
That was just that. No. Anywho, but Rue is a mainstream celebrity. But you had queens like Sasha Velour, who had like a 4-hour line. And again, talking to people about like wait times, I don't know if that necessarily was from like the time that the queen got there and the line moved, versus
yeah, they're waiting.
I'm gonna plant myself in line and wait right until this queen shows up. Because like after the panel, Trixie was like, I'm going to be at my booth all day. I'll be right out there. I'm going to get some tea and I'll be right out there. It was like an hour later, I'm pretty sure, before Trixie was at the booth.
Of course, of course.
And I'm like, you know, bitches got other things to do, press, whatever. But it was just kind of funny that it was like, I'll be out there all day. And I wanted to wait in line, but I saw that line. That bitch had a line.
No, it's great. I mean, I'm really thrilled for Trixie. I mean, deserves all of the attention, Sasha, and success. And Sasha too.
Sasha had a ridiculous line. I believe Shay did, Bob did, Alexis had a fantastic line.
Great.
Detox. Let me tell you this. So with Ginger's setup this year, she did the whole she did the Snow White theme with CJ being Prince Charming. And during her panel, she joked about being so tired, like her feet being so tired and killing her from being in heels and standing all day. She's like, next year I'm going to be Sleeping Beauty. I'm just going to be laid out on a slab. I'm just taking a nap. You just take a picture with me. But one queen actually beat her to that kind of concept this year. Detox had a giant area. Like, she had like a full square, and she had the two front squares were her merch table. She had a bunch of merch. She had a storage area, and then she had a shower curtained off area. And inside of that area was a tub. And she was just laying in the tub. And then people would come in and take pictures with her. So she just got to lay down the entire time.
Smart. So incredibly smart.
Yeah. It was really funny. And like some of the queens, like they ditched their heels. Like Alexis, I think by halfway through day one, because she was in her full pink, like with harness, like look, she had kicked off her heels. And I'm like, I can't blame a bitch.
No. It's a different thing. It's not like a runway. It's not like a show where you go on.
You're not doing a 30-minute meet and greet at a club. This is, you here for hours.
Sensible. And again, this is something you learn from experience. If you've never done a show before, you learn. And again, I think some of the smarter queens played it down and got comfortable. And
Fifi, who had her whole Pokemon theme, both of her characters, she was the, oh god, Oral told me today who it was. It was the nurse character.
Oh, from like, Team Rocket?
Yeah, with the big like flip roll in the front. Like that was who she was dressed as the first day. And then whoever has like the, looked like a Star Trek outfit, to be honest.
Huh.
It was like a red, that's the picture I have on the Instagram that I have with her. But both of those outfits, sneakers.
Sure.
They worked with it. Like it really was, it legit worked for the outfit. And she didn't have to stand in heels all day. So it really worked out for her. We didn't have as grand of an entrance as this past DragCon. Like, if you've seen the video for the grand entrance,
the procession of the queens.
Yes. They had all the winners there. So you had this whole to-do from BB all the way through Alaska's the All-Stars 2 winner. We got a runway entrance with Michelle Visage as the MC, which was cool. But BB was late, so she missed it.
Oh.
Tyra.
Oh, jeez.
Out of all the flavors in the world, she chose salty. Tyra's steering into the skid of being like this absolute beast.
Yeah.
She was not in drag the entire weekend. She came out as a boy.
Okay.
Walked out on the runway and then unfurled one of her new posters. And it's a drawing of her with a bound and gagged raven. And it says, Raven was robbed. Because 7 years later, people still bitch, moan, and complain and say that Raven should have won season two.
So is Raven in on this?
No, there's been a lot of animosity, whether it's staged or not.
Oh, so she had it made.
Yeah. And then there was this whole thing back a few months ago, maybe longer. I don't know. Where she had posted this thing that Morgan McMichaels had died, and it caused this whole like social media like craziness.
Yeah.
So one of her other posters is her standing at a gravestone that says "R.I.P. Morgan McMichaels." And so she like steered into this like really, really salty skid. Fifi also was steered into her skid, but in a cute way. At her booth, she had one of her shirts that she was selling was Daria green, like that really rich olive green, had the circle, and then it had her photo of her as Daria and Jane Morgendorfer. Was it? No, Daria Morgendorfer and Jane.
Okay.
The best friend. Like, because she had both of them for her 365
drag. That's right. Yeah.
So she has her as both characters in the that's Daria cute. Circle. It's super cute. But that wasn't the shirt I wanted. That wasn't the one Jiggly stole from me. The shirt I wanted said, it was a black shirt, and in white letters it said FCKPHIPHI. So fuck Fifi. So like, I thought that was a cuter way to kind of like steer into the villain skid without it being like overtly like, I'm a bitch. Like,
so I'm actually feeling like, and we have to talk to like our friend Jeremy Owen and some other people who've done the wrestling conventions, because I feel like there's certain things coming out in drag for RuPaul that are like the whole heel and face and the storylines and the rivalries, and even just from a thinking about like as a performer sort of making your look, I could see these kind of commonalities between like a WrestleMania convention or just whatever wrestle. I don't know. There's probably a bunch of wrestling conventions in the world. I don't know. So like, I'd be really curious to see like how they stack up and compare.
Speaking of Jeremy and speaking of wrestling, I believe he's the one that did the naked Kevin Owens pin.
Yes.
Which I had on my Legend of Zelda lanyard, which I wore both days of DragCon, because they give you like this really, you know, just like the chintzy
shoelace
lanyard. So I was like, I made sure I brought it because I don't usually get to use my lanyard. I was so excited.
Well, we don't have the cool vests that everybody has, the jean jackets where they put all their pins.
No, I left 1987 behind. I'm sorry. But I had my lanyard on, and I was standing there talking to CJ, and he saw Jeremy's Kevin Owens pin. And he was like, I have to take a picture of that. I need to send this to him. He knows Kevin Owens.
Oh, no way.
He did a class with him once.
Oh, that's so funny.
So he was like, he's like, I need to tweet this at him right now.
If he wants, I can probably hook him up with his own pen.
That's hysterical.
Jeremy would probably love, if he hasn't already, it wouldn't shock me if they already, you know.
Yeah.
Jeremy and them, they do, is it Mid-Card Pens, I believe?
I think that's the company.
Yeah. So I saw him in San Diego and got that for you. Amidst other pins that I also have on my lanyard, including my favorite, Tom Servo of Finland, which is just amazing. Two great things that I love together.
So speaking of pins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I was getting to that.
Yeah.
So that's where I thought you were going.
Natural segue.
Pins are huge. I had no idea. Like, it's so funny. So hold on. Let me preface this a little bit. So pins, of course, we're talking the little enamel things that you probably have seen at Disney or have existed forever. I mean, they're not new. More and more bands and comic creators and drag queens and events are doing their own pins. And Loot Crate plays a big part of this. I was actually just playing with my latest Loot Crate, which has an awesome Blade Runner shirt in it and has a little robot pin. Like, pins are huge. They're everywhere. And so Drag Race had pins this year.
Well, a lot of the queens have been doing them for a while. I didn't know this, but Sasha has either her Patreon or something that she does where she puts out a monthly pin.
What?
Yeah, so you're going to have to get on that.
Shut the front door. Oh, my God. This is dangerous.
And actually, well, I joined, I am now a Patreon subscriber to Danny Haas's Patreon.
Oh, yeah, he's doing pins, too.
At the pin
right.
level.
Yeah.
So I, or it's like the pin-up level or something like that. I forget what it's called. But yeah, so every month he's going to do one based off of a specific theme. And then there's going to be, I think, 100 of them. And then whatever, whoever, like if he doesn't have enough people on that level, he'll then sell them from there or whatever.
Because that's a great way to, building up your inventory and subsidizing the cost. Yep.
Exactly. But DragCon got into the game. This might be the first time. I don't know if LA's had one before.
I hadn't seen these before. And so I was very excited when I saw their set of awesome pins, which I should have in front of me, but I don't.
Well, it was a set of five. You had the squirrel that said Squirrel Friends. You had the mixtape that said like Lip Sync Volume 1. You had the stack of books that say Reading is Fundamental.
Duct tape.
You had the duct tape. And why am I blanking on the fifth one?
I know. I can't think of the fifth one either. Keep talking and I'll pull it up on Facebook.
So they did, I think it was 100 of each pin. But what they did is they took and made 50 sets of the five pins, and then the remainder of the 50 of each, so that's what, 250 pins, they put them into these opaque mystery bags. So I was fortunate enough to be close enough to the front, and I swooped in and bought, I bought you a set of the five pins. Because when you saw them tweeted out, that was the one thing you said that you wanted. And, RuPaul's best friend race. I forgot the ribbon. How can I forget the ribbon?
Yeah.
This is that RuPaul's best friend race.
So I will tell you, these are really cool and classic and iconic. And I am so thrilled to have them. I have the Reading is Fundamental one on my work lanyard. I'll probably put some of the... I'll swap them out because I can only have so many pens. I have a lot of pens.
Unless you start wearing a denim jacket to work.
Listen,
and you jingle jangle across
I don't
the
think
hallway.
I'll do it at work, but I have seriously given thought. So here's the thing. Instead of the jacket.
Only if you curl in it.
Oh, that'll happen. That can happen.
Of course.
No, and
will.
That makes sense. Actually, it makes the most sense because curlers have a huge pin thing too. Every time you play another team, a team from another club, you swap pins with that club. So I have a bunch of curling pins.
I'm
going
to call you Lisa Simpson.
It's getting bad. No, it's
pin collector Lisa.
So much so, yeah, that they make fun of it, which is hilarious because that actually I think was more because the Olympians had the pin thing.
Well, yes, but if I'm not mistaken, I think that's all in the same episode.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's the curling episode.
But it's funny because it was based on the Olympic pin tradition.
Yeah.
But there's a curling. Anyway, long story short, a sash. A pin sash. That's what you need to do. A pin sash. Because I will rock a sash more than I will rock a leather. It's not leather. A jean jacket. Because I hate jean jackets. I hate jean shorts. I apologize. Those of you who can pull it off, Cena, if you listen to this, God bless you. But I don't think I can do that. So
I'm just imagining you as a brownie.
It really could be. You could even work that in. It's like a whole outfit thing,
with your enamel pin merit badges.
I mean, no, I wonder if that's because I was never in the Boy Scouts or any Scouts.
Scouts?
I was almost in the Girl Scouts. I was in the RAs. We did have something similar. But the idea is like I was always like, oh my God, I want a merit badge. Even though there were patches, I think the way they were always portrayed, I thought they were like more, they stood
like
out more.
Like more, yeah, pin badges.
And
yeah.
So these are kind of a cool sort of modern day merit badge. Not that you've earned them, you've probably paid for them, but still.
Bitch, if I'm paying for it, I'll earn it.
But I will say, I appreciate this this lovely pin collection, but oh my God, I was thinking about this. Okay, so pins normally cost $10. Let's be charitable. Like a lot of pins are $10.
Yeah, usually about 10.
So five pins, at $10 each is $50. This was a little more, but I was thinking I'm also like you're saying they were exclusives, and you know some pins go for $15.
Well, that's
you bought the Sasha pin for me, and I think that was $15.
I think so. I know the Bob pin that I got, which was awesome. It was the Chad Sell Bob head with the paint dripping down. That I think was $12 or $13, unless you bought that and the purse first one, and then you could buy the two of them.
Well, there's always like a two for whatever, you know.
Yeah, there was a deal for that. But I think it was either 12 or 13. Yeah, I think what it comes down to is these were $15 a pin.
But that, right. I was
but
just
you were guaranteed all five of them.
Right.
Where you could put $50 down on the table and get five bags. Mm-hmm. And potentially get two of the same pin.
And then you start swapping, which is what somebody came up to you, right?
They well, like, no. Actually, when I bought it, I said, can I get one set of pins and I'll take a mystery bag? Because I wanted one because the pins were for you. So I paid for my stuff and I got keychains and a couple of other little things. And I'm standing there and as I'm opening, like ripping open the plastic bag, the woman that sold me the stuff goes, well, if you don't get the one you want, you can always swap it for this reading is... And as I pull out the reading is fundamental pen, she's like, oh, never mind. So I was like, but it's a cute pen, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's actually one of the best pens of them.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy them, and I'll have to... I literally took it to work. I put one on my lanyard, and the rest are somewhere either in my car or at work. So I'll have to bring them back so you can wear the other ones. But it is really cool, and it was a neat thing that they added, and it definitely is in the spirit of like shows and collecting right now to have those pins. But so what was one more thing that you can think of from RuPaul's from the DragCon that you really enjoyed and you think our lovely listeners would entice them into coming next year? Because I feel like there's probably a good chance it'll come back to New York, and I feel like what we would love to see, as likely as it probably already is some of our listeners to show up next year and maybe even figure out a way to try to have some kind of meetup, or maybe we can con our way into a panel hosting gig there, which would be pretty amazing. So to entice our listeners to get them interested in coming to DragCon next year, what's one thing you can think that was like either a highlight that we haven't talked about or something that would just, you know, sell it and make people buy their tickets even now?
$17 lunches.
What?
Oh, no. Sorry. That's not going to entice them. My bad.
That's like repellent.
The $6.50 smoothie, though, was quite delicious. I was not mad at that.
I'm surprised you didn't go when we were there at Javits. Like, you could go down and around and to, like, the local businesses instead of the...
But I honestly, I didn't eat at the Javits on Saturday, which was the long day. I was there from 8:15 in the morning until 7:15, 7:30. By the time we the five of us squeezed into... Wait, no, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six of us squeezed into an Uber.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Why and would you do that?
If you've seen CJ, Ginger, and myself, you know that three out of us were taking up some room. But we did it. We made it work. But on Sunday, it's a shorter day, and I was just like, screw it. They were like, we have this, you know, chicken tender and french fries special. And then I bought a soda that was another $4, and then the chips were like another $3. Like, damn it! I was trying to be cheap on this one. No, not the food. You know what? It's really hard to encapsulate, and maybe I'm just bad at selling these types of things, which I'm learning more and more. But if you are... If you're a fan of the drag culture, if you're a fan of Drag Race, this is an awesome experience. Even if you only do it one time and you think after that, okay, I'm good. I don't really need to be a part of it. The panels were definitely a cute like thing to do. They had they had some really good themes for the panels. But just getting to kind of interact with the queens that are quote-unquote not like top tier, like getting to chat with Pandora, like even after the panel, like I went up to her and was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, I'm with Flame On. And she was like, oh, hey, like we talked for a minute. She's like, come by my booth later, like, you know, and say hi. And she wasn't charging anything. She didn't have a minimum. Going and seeing and saying hello to Jocelyn, who was there with Atlanta photographer Just Toby, that they were sharing a booth, who I freaked out with my Samsung Pay on their little Apple, not Apple, the little square reader, because they were like...
That's voodoo.
They're like, that's not gonna... What? What? yeah, I like to freak people out with that. It's fun. And just getting to talk to Ivy Winters was fucking awesome. She was so excited. She was so happy to talk to people. I had just gotten a new tattoo like mere days beforehand, and I was wearing a t-shirt that was covering it, thankfully. But I went up to hug her to say hello, and she was so excited. She just kept slapping me in the arm right on the tattoo. And I'm like, thank God this one doesn't hurt so much. But just getting to interact with those queens that don't necessarily get to do the club circuit as much, or maybe not, are doing other things and you don't see them. I don't think I've ever actually been face to face with Ivy, but literally when I saw her, I said, listen, you don't even understand. Anytime I talk about quick changes, I always bring up my strongest suit performance when I saw you in Orlando at Battle of the Seasons, because it was insane. Like, it was so well done. And she was telling me how like Aida was her favorite show and she saw it on Broadway. And one of our friends, I was like, my best friend worked for Disney Broadway division and helped open that show on Broadway. I'm like, you were probably in the audience and he was backstage with that show. Like, it was really cool getting to have those kind of moments. You know, you don't always get those moments with the queens, and queens like Sasha and Shay, who there was a lot of talk about Shay and her line and her charging $60 for a photo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So the whole thing.
Or $50 in merch, which, all right. Like, that's like, you know, a shirt and like a picture.
God damn, girl.
And she also had Boomer Bang. She hired a porn star to be in the pictures. Like, I know you're trying to get that money back. I get it. You're trying to make back your $100,000, but you know, that was definitely a point of contention. It didn't stop her line.
I was gonna say, it's all a matter of, will your fans pay for it? And are you going to be totally taking advantage of them? So obviously they paid for it. A lot of them.
Well, and then there was some talk that Sasha was charging $100, which I debunked talking to other people.
I can't see her doing that.
No, it was 10.
Oh,
I was like, I don't know where the extra zero came from, but
60 versus 10. Yeah. Like, come on, 50 versus 10 or whatever.
But yeah. So my thing to entice people is, if, especially next year, they will have worked out some of the bugs. The dates, I'm sure, won't have that same fluctuation, which will cause there to be people missing. But to be able to get to have those interactions with some of those queens that you don't get to see readily, that if you're in your hometown of Orlando or Chicago or, you know, bumfuck Tennessee, you know, they don't... Nashville, because that's got a big club there, play. But, you know, getting to have those interactions were definitely so worth it for me. And then just getting to meet other people. Like, I was there by myself, and yet I managed to make a couple of new friends that I'm like super stoked about keeping in touch with. And if this show happens again around the same time, like almost making it a yearly thing of like, hey, let me go up and let me do this. So if you can make it out to DragCon LA, which the dates are already up, I forget what they are, but they're early May this year instead of the end of April.
Okay.
Which is awesome for me, because then I won't have my bear event the same weekend. So maybe we'll actually get to go out to LA. Maybe the two of us and Sean can go and actually do like a 3-person report and coverage for it. And then to do DragCon NYC next year. They haven't announced any dates or anything, but I can't see, with the response to the convention this year, I can't see it not happening again next year.
If they can make money, they probably will.
Well, the funny part was, basically it was just one giant LGBT fest in the Javits, because half of it was DragCon and the other half was the New York LGBT Expo.
Oh,
happening the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
So I guess on the other side of it was, so one half of the Javits was the LGBT Expo, one half was DragCon.
Oh, I wonder what that was like.
So, because I got off the train at Penn Station, and I'm walking through Penn Station, I look up and it's like LGBT Expo September 9th and 10th, and I was like, yeah, it's called DragCon. And then I realized, no, there actually was another LGBT Expo.
I wonder Yeah, it's interesting that they'd be the same weekend. Like, then they wouldn't even like partner. Anyway, maybe next year. So if you plan to go to either DragCon, let us know, of course. We'd love to see you out there. I know Ron would love to see us come out to LA. I think he's in that neck of the woods. Will evidently be seeing him in New York for our live show on October 3rd. That is the week of New York Comic Con at Rock Bar, which is down in the Village on Christopher Street, 8 o'clock till about 10 o'clock. And then I guess there's an American ish. Yeah. There's an American, well, it'll be a hard cut at 10 because it's an American Horror Story viewing party. So if you like that show, you want to come watch that. And Pat and I will be there. We got some friends coming out. We have no guests we can really announce yet, but in
we'll be doing that soon.
Very, very, very immediate future, you're going to see some announcements.
Yes.
But it's going to be the same format we did last year. It's going to be a trivia game show style. If you may watch or listen to, and maybe watch, Ask Me Another, that kind of thing. It's close. Pretty much the same idea. But we will be involving the audience perhaps a bit more. So anyone who shows up might get to be a part of the show and win some prizes. So please come out and check it out. Again, it's totally free, and it'll be a lot of fun. And otherwise, if you do like want to see some of the pictures, like we talked about, flameonshow.com, go down to the very bottom. There's a bunch of chicklets. You can go to our Facebook page, Tumblr, Instagram, Twitter.
Yep, everything was posted to Instagram, and it fed to... All but one picture fed to our Facebook page, because sometimes Instagram is funky and doesn't like to push to your fan page. So one of the pictures of my two new friends who are rocking some really awesome fan holsters. They went to a pirate costuming website, and literally it's listed on this pirate costume website as fan holster.
I feel like I need to do that before my upcoming thing.
You should.
Although
you should.
Yeah.
But it's a little like it's a little gun holster, but it's meant for a fan.
I really love that. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. But and yeah.
You can see my really, really pretty artsy picture of my ice cream cone from the Big A ice cream shop. That was my favorite, like seriously, the prettiest fucking picture.
Hashtag unintentional depth of field.
Oh, it was so pretty. So pretty. And that was right before I turned around and saw the lights for the towers and felt like I got kicked in the gut, because then it was the night of September 10th and I'm in Manhattan, basically, you know, right down the street from Ground Zero. So it was just a whole mix of emotions. And then I was right at Stonewall. I got some great pictures of me and the neon sign outside, and it was really cool. But anywho, that's enough talking from me. If you're enjoying our content, you enjoy the Nerdy Show content, feel free to go to the Patreon site and become a Patreon subscriber. You can even earmark some of the money that you contribute to go right to our show.
And it does. Oh, my God. It's really great.
Y'all are going to go have some delicious brunch on some Nerdy Show money. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'll put it this way. It's paid for equipment, and it's paid partially for, in some ways, your trip. And it's the gift that keeps on giving, and we really do appreciate it.
If we sound better, it's because of your Patreon.
Yeah, honestly, we got these great pop filters now. No, we really do appreciate it. We trust me when I say we don't make money off this, but it does make the job a little easier and a little more fun. So that's great. Yes. So thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next time with full...
So it's patreon.com/nerdyshow. We didn't give the URL.
Sorry, skipped ahead.
Patreon.com/nerdyshow.
But yeah, we'll be back next time with a full cast recording, or as many of the homos as we can gather.
Maybe a straight person.
Possibly. And on that note, see you next time.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. At patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can fund the whole Nerdy Show Network and unlock a plethora of amazing bonus content and early releases. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame On all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.